What the hell is up with water? Are clouds even real? This is an honest question we need to ask ourselves. Are they a government plant? What is going on? Because steam boils at 100 degrees Celsius. Okay? That's where steam comes from. But like, if you're cooking something, it'll be less than 100. Like, you've got that hot plate sitting in front of you. It's not literally boiling food that you're eating, but it's still got steam coming off of it. Steam just comes out of the oceans and goes into the clouds. How is it steam? It's not boiling, and especially not all the way up there where it's like minus fucking 40. Why doesn't it just immediately fall out? Why do we even have clouds? Somebody explain this to me like I'm five.
Well, maybe we'll get that person on. Welcome to the Mashup, folks. 101 coming to you in the afternoon at a different time, a different feel, a different look. Twos.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
Oh. It's been a hectic day, but I made it here just in time. Photo finish. How about you, buddy?
I don't know. I was excited for this. Two mashups in a week. We've never done that before. We've been talking about new time, new place, new look. And, obviously we're not going to be doing it 2 o'clock every Friday. We're planning on doing it in the mornings. Yep. Starting next week. And we'll see how that goes. So I don't know. I'm excited. We passed 100, goalpost on Monday, yep. And now it's keep on keeping on. So mashup 101?
Yeah, dude, 101.
What? Is this the first headline? Are you bringing me already in the first headline?
It's mashup 101. It's mashup 101. Have you ever been to 101?
101? No, yeah. I can't say I've ever been to 101.
Well, because it's on mile 101 on the way up to Anchorage.
Okay. I'm learning new things.
Right, that's where 101 gets its name.
101.
101.
All right. Well, I tell you what, before we get rolling here, Coots, 782 days. That's Carbert and Olenek in there. Pleasantly unexpected. Let's rock. Yeah, you got it, Eddie.
Eddie's a petty. Let's rock indeed.
Pleasantly unexpected. I mean, we've been talking about this now for like close to a month, haven't we? I don't know. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. All right. Well, we got a hot hour coming at you. We got a bunch of headlines shorter than, obviously we've done two of them this week, so it's a little different than, the first go around,
but there's no shortage. Yeah, there's no shortage.
Okay. Chase is on. It must be the
Sean gave me about 17 seconds to come up with.
Chase is on the case. All right.
And while we bring in Chase Barber, I'm going to eat my lunch.
All right. Oh. So here's the first headline. Okay. Chase is on the case. BC's three opposition parties united this week to demand the Auditor General probe a so-called kickback scheme involving one of the companies responsible for administering millions of dollars of government grants to clean technology projects. BC United, BC Green, and BC Conservative MLAs voted for an independent probe of the accounting firm MNP, which the government has hired to administer at least two grant programs, but which is also facing allegations it demanded so-called success fees of high as 20% of the grant amount to help the firm win money. At least one company has gone public with its concerns, Merritt-based Edison Motors, a new startup that is building electric semi-trucks used for logging and which sought provincial aid to expand its operations. Instead of reading the quote, we just thought maybe we'd bring Sir Chase in.
The horse.
That's right. Chase, how's it going today?
Oh, not bad, not bad. That's funny you brought up 101, because our first hybrid diesel electric project we actually did was at 101 BC.
Nice. Well, apparently the odds were 100%.
I guess.
Or 1-1.
Now,
hi, Chase. Nice to meet you.
Okay. So you talked about this on the Blue Collar Roundtable when you were on the podcast like 2 weeks ago. Now it's in the news.
Can I just say real quick that, during that Blue Collar Roundtable, when I was listening to it, I'm like, that's kind of an interesting thing to say. Is he gonna back that up? Because you kind of led into it at the start, and I'm like, it's kind of a big statement to make. Where's this going? And then as it went, I'm like, holy shit, this is probably the biggest story that's broke ever on the S&P, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we're not talking about the MNP. We're talking about the S&P.
Yeah.
Not to get confused here, folks.
So
Chase,
anyway,
give it to the mashup group. Let's hear it. What's going on in BC in the green world in funding MNP? I don't know. You tell the story.
Yeah, so it was kind of a funny story. Like I said, the only people I actually mentioned this to you was on your podcast, because the government that we were talking to was like, yeah, don't mention this publicly, but felt comfortable around you. But yeah, so the basic gist of, I think it was Quick-Dick McDick, 100% Quick-Dick McDick got it out of me. But 100%, what's going on right now is, so we've applied for a lot of government grants. And one of the government grant was the Commercial Vehicle Innovation Challenge. Now, we have never gotten a government grant, even though we've been applying for years. The Commercial Vehicle Innovation Challenge was for companies in British Columbia building electric heavy-duty commercial trucks. We are the only company in BC doing that. And we got denied for the grant. No, you guys aren't eligible. And we met with them and they said that our timeline was too aggressive. We were going to get the project done too quickly and we weren't going to spend enough money. And also there
was... Governments hate everything you have to offer, don't they?
Right. A couple clerical issues. I mean, the paperwork and writing is probably accurate. We're truck drivers. But we noticed something interesting. The email we got back was at MNP, which is a company that we remembered reach out to us before to ask about writing our grants. And we told MNP that, no, sorry, you're way too much. They wanted crazy high amounts to write some paperwork, like insanely high amounts. So we said, no, that's too much money. Sorry, we're not interested. Then they administered this grant program. The next grant program we met with, they administered, they turned us down into the grant. Then we had another meeting with them after that. And they're like, hey, see, I think your chances would increase a fair bit if we wrote your grants. Don't you think we would be better writing your grants? We administer some of the grants. I think you'd have better chances if you paid that money that we're asking for. They're like, oh, I guess that's how we got to do it.
That's a real nice company there. It'd be a shame if something was to happen towards it.
It's a real nice electric company. It would be a real shame if we didn't write your grants and your company didn't happen to get funded by our government programs, eh?
Don't be a mook.
Right. And we went down. So after that, we had got our license plate on. And that's right when I came on your podcast. So we went down the day before and the government introduced us to the Legislative Assembly. The United Conservatives came down. They're like, we'd love to introduce you guys to Edison Motors. They're building this hybrid electric truck into the legislative building. And basically, they just welcomed us. Afterwards, they met with us they had a little coffee reception for the Duke of Boers who were there. They met us at this coffee reception. They said, hey, why don't you come talk? We'd love to talk about your experiences, learn more about your truck. We actually went up to the Ministers of Mine and Clean Energy's office. And we said, he asked us, we met with the couple of the guys and the advisors and members of her thing. She couldn't actually make it. There was another girl there, but it wasn't the minister herself, so I don't want to get that confused. But we met with the people from her office. They asked about, hey, what's going on? We told them about this, and they said, oh, that doesn't sound right at all. We would love to learn more and investigate. And we sent them the information we had. They said, thank you. We're definitely going to look into this. And I'm like, yeah, we want to kind of go, like, we want to tell people about this. Like, this is ridiculous that this is going on. She's like, no. He's like, no, don't tell anybody. Like, don't say anything. We're going to investigate this. We're going to look into it. Like, it would look bad on Edison if you're ruffling the feathers. Let us investigate. We're the government. That's what we do. That's our responsibility. And we're like, oh, perfect. We also met with the United Conservatives and the Green Party. We told them the same thing. They said, like, hey, yeah, don't say anything yet. Like, we're going to look into this. And so
and
after
they voted it down.
Well, we met with the minister's office, and it gets crazier is that a few hours after meeting with her office, we had a speaking engagement at an event that they were running. So after we're like, hey, we're going to tell people about this. Next week, we were supposed to speak at their event, and they canceled our speaking engagement. Be like, no, you're not allowed to speak publicly, which I mean, would be unfortunate because there is no way that I could get my voice out without speaking at a government event. I don't think they realize that.
Yeah,
I don't need to say it at your government event. But anyways, they canceled my speaking engagement. And then the next day or a day or so later, that minister's office announced that MNP is going to be in charge of doing the economic assessment of grant activity. In other words, let's look at where the grant money is being spent and is it being spent effectively and recommending future grant funding opportunities. So not only did they not investigate, the very next day they turned around and been like, hey, here's way more stuff.
We're going to give them way more money and way more work.
Yeah.
To investigate themselves.
Yeah. Now, just going off the liberal track record, I'm not optimistic that they're going to find much.
Well, I'm sure there's nothing there because, you know, they said that they were going to investigate and all of the other political parties we met with said, yo, there's definitely something here worth investigating, like based on what you guys have. And then they started investigating. And as they said in the papers, more companies started coming forward saying very similar things. So they're like, okay, it's not even just one company. There's multiple companies coming ahead now. This needs to have a government investigation. We're requesting the government to investigate. And then the NDP yesterday had a vote and blocked a government investigation into their program. They all got up and unanimously voted that no, you cannot investigate this.
I mean, at least it's on brand for them.
I guess, but like, it's very.
So, would there be any avenue for criminal or civil investigation?
I don't know. I'm not a government legislator or legal expert. They said that there's still ways that they could possibly look into it if the government decides that it wants to do its own investigation, but that would require somebody from the office saying like, you know what, I'll just take that on myself. But I don't know how it works. They blocked it, but there's still other ways that it can somehow. But it's very frustrating because in the paper that came out and the official minister's office, she's like, we would have loved it if the evidence had came to their office. And like, I literally posted a video. I'm like, here's me standing in your office. your office. Like, your guys took the picture of me in your office telling you this. And now you're going out to the reporters and be like, I really wish somebody had a
game. You can't be that stupid. And then they just take it to a new level of stupid.
Yeah. Like, they're not a serious party. Okay. So have you been? So that this was in the Orca, which is fairly local, if I'm not mistaken. Has this been picked up by anybody else? Are there, have you been getting any other interest from media
Than the Tuesday mashup?
Yeah, other than the Tuesday mashup.
I talked with Rob there from the Orca, and then I've talked with you guys, and I mean, maybe some other people would, but they, So I've talked to a couple people. I did a little video on it, and I don't know. Maybe I should have just shut up because.
No.
Because that's going so well for us in this country. Maybe we should all just shut up, eh?
Well, it would have been a lot smarter because I'm still in my parents' basement. I feel like if I had a went along with the government grant program,
you'd have several million dollars.
Take the millions of dollars from the government grant. I could have moved out of the basement and maybe started building trucks a little quicker. But morally, it felt fucking wrong.
So good on you, by the way.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's one thing for schlubs like us to be like, oh, yeah, you need to fight the man and not take the millions of dollars. But I don't know. If it was the right number of millions of dollars, I'd be like, peace out, motherfuckers.
We know, too. Everybody knows twos can be bought off at this point.
Yes. Yes.
So if twos disappears from the mashup, we know where he went. All of a sudden, Sean's gone. Mashup's just...
I am not sad. I am not sad. I am not depressed. I'm quite happy. Things are going quite well with Edison.
Good.
I feel like probably say that publicly after like the Boeing thing.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and updating us with this. If there's anything new that comes up, I'm hoping, you know, because we're We're this little cult media thing now where probably somebody's watching, they're hearing this and they're going, nobody's talked to you about this. Doesn't this feel like, I don't know, maybe Rebel News should reach on out or others?
Everybody
too? I'm
should.
I'm just saying, like
CBC,
everyone.
CTV Global, if they actually wanted to do their job.
Yeah, they're not going to do their job. No, they're not doing their job. They're not doing it. So they're getting paid by the same people that are covering this up. The fact they all walked out, isn't that a story in itself? That should be headline news. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Chase. We'll kick you out of here. If anything, please keep us updated, because if there's other things, we'll bring you right back. And glad to have you back on to update us.
You betcha. Thanks for having me on.
I really applaud what you're doing here, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right, that's Chase Barber from Edison Motors, of course. If you want to go listen to the Blue Collar Roundtable, folks, that's on the SMP, not to be confused with the MNP, Sean Newman Podcast. You can go there. You can listen to that Blue Collar Roundtable. It's it's Blue Collar Roundtable 2, if memory serves me correct. Chase Barber, Quick Dick McDick, and the Crackpot Farmer were on a virtual one. And that's where he first started talking about that. I was like, this is wild now to see it. They're like, we're not investigating ourselves. This gets worse, worse, worse.
Oh, you should have told us about it. Motherfucker, here's the picture of me telling you about it.
Oh, my God, Canada. What are we doing?
I got to say, he said something that reminded me of something. So he was talking about how they had that thing with the Duke of Boers. I was like in my 30s before I found out that Duke of Boers was actually like a specific group of people. I thought it was just like a generic swear word, like fucking idiot, because that's just how everybody talked around where I grew up. They'd be like, oh, that fucking Duke of Boers.
it sounds like it was always
in such a disparaging tone that I just assumed it was idiot.
All right, Juice, what do you got for me?
Well, I thought that was good.
It was great. That was great. The NDP are not a growing party. Three new Democrats have announced they won't be running for re-election in battleground regions where Pierre Poilievre's Conservatives hope to gain. Charlie Angus, who has represented Tim and James Bay for 2 decades. Can you believe that? 2 decades. MP Rachel Blaney, her riding of North Island, Powell River, and Carol Hughes riding of Algoma, Manitoulin, Kapuskasing since 2008. She will also not run in the next election. Thursday's announcement means 6 MPs in the NDP's 25-member caucus are either not seeking re-election or currently losing their riding to upcoming boundary changes. So 6, there you go. They're changing. That's federally. Obviously, I assume people know that.
Yeah, so Charlie Angus, you remember when we talked about him a few weeks ago, how he put forth the bill trying to say that it was illegal to say nice things about oil and gas?
Correct.
Yeah, that guy. Who totally hasn't lost touch with regular people and is now slated to lose in what's an absolute NDP stronghold, Northern Ontario. He's now projected to lose. And it's just going to get worse as time keeps going. So, yeah, he says, I'm going to bow out gracefully. And it's funny, they all said the classic line. They're like, they're all going to be spending more time with their family.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. I wish all the Liberals and NDP would be able to spend more time with their family.
Kids can grow out of being trans, but they can't grow it back. Researchers at the Netherlands University.
Sean.
Hey?
That's about their penis.
Is that about their penis? I didn't put 2 and 2 together. Although today's world, 2 and 2 equals 5, so I don't know if I get that anyways. Netherlands University of Groningen recently released the results of a landmark 15-year study of 2,700 children starting at age 11. They tracked the gender non-contendedness of these children over the years and found, in early adolescence, 11% of participants reported gender non-contendedness. The prevalence decreased with age and was about 4% at the last follow-up around age 26. The researchers concluded gender non-contendedness, while being relatively common during early adolescence in general, decreases with age and appears to be associated with a poor self-concept and mental health throughout development. In other words, most of the children in the study who were feeling gender dysphoric in their awkward teenage years had shaken that off and adjusted by early adulthood, and their dysphoria was associated with bad self-esteem and mental health problems. Switch over to the National Post here in our fearless Canada And you got in a lengthy legal battle that could lead to more requests for individually customized, unorthodox, gender-affirming surgeries. Say that 10 times fast. An Ontario resident...
I don't think we should ever have to say it once, Sean. That's the problem.
An Ontario resident is seeking publicly funded surgery to construct a vagina while preserving the penis. I can't make that up. That's a National Post story. That is happening.
Call me crazy, Sean. But if you think that my tax dollars should pay for you to have a penis and a vagina, you can go fuck yourself.
Alex Jones has entered the chat. Alex Jones, this is on Twitter, folks. I'll bring it up here nice and quick. I think I have it, maybe. Here we go. So this is what Alex Jones says. Been following this guy for years, and he is the real deal. Canada desperately needs a lot more leaders like him, and so does the rest of the world. Do you want me to play the clip, Twos, the 49 seconds? Would you like the people to hear it? Maybe? Yeah?
Okay, yeah, sure. It is a good clip.
It might surprise you to hear me say that. He's not a liberal. Liberals used to believe in liberty, and conservatives believed in conserving it. That was the common sense consensus we had in Canada. Justin Trudeau does not believe in liberty. He believes in government control. He wants to control your money. He wants to control your kids. He wants to control the economy, control your speech, control your bank account. He wants to control everything. That is illiberal. It's the opposite of liberalism. I don't want to run your life. I want to run your government. And a government that does a few things well rather than a lot of things poorly, a government that minds its own business and lets people live their lives. That is the traditional.
That's a hell of a good clip.
Oop, and then it's going to play again, is it? There you go.
Yeah, it's funny, though. I mean, he really kind of missed the boat on being more vocal about that in the past several years.
Pierre Poilievre?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
isn't it? Yeah. It's
he runs his life by the polls too.
Yeah, and then you've got Alex Jones saying he's the real deal, and you're like, come on, Alex. Like, if you've been paying close attention, you'd realize that he does live his life by the polls. He timed his entrance into the leadership so that, because in Canada we don't vote people in, we vote them out. Like, oh, let's just let that stoolie O'Toole take the fall. All right, now I'll just swoop in afterwards and be the savior. Oh, I'm going to say the things that people have been wanting to hear for a while, and people are going to love me. And it's like he ran on a carbon tax in the last election. And now he's like, I'm going to get rid of the carbon tax. And so here's the thing, is if the polling data changes in Toronto in some significant way, is he going to go be pro-vaccine again? Maybe. I don't know. Like, people have their different perspectives. Some people think he's great. Some people think he sucks. I just think he is doing if he was trying to be,
he's just a politician.
Fair weather, if he was trying to be a fair weather politician, going whichever way the wind blowed to try and further his power, he wouldn't have done anything differently in any of the timeline that he's been on so far.
He's just a politician. Yeah. And he is a popular politician in conservative circles because he's saying the things that people have wanted to be said.
Majority. And I've been wanting to hear something like that for years.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it kind of loses its credibility. So anyway, that's my take.
Recall wrap up. Of course, this is from the Calgary Herald. We all know the mayor, Jody Gondak, how many signatures they had signed, all that good stuff. Here is the official tally. They had 72,271. There you go. That's Landon Johnson down with
170,000. So it's almost half of the people who voted for her are saying, no, we don't want her. And I mean, there was a lot of blowback. You had these bullshit articles in the Calgary Herald.
Well, this is what the Calgary Herald writes. Consider Calgary Mayor Jody Gondak and the racism, sexism, and misogyny that has dogged her for years. Now, under the guise of criticizing her style and leadership, some guy is endeavoring to cadge enough signatures on a petition to have her recalled. I mean, that isn't why he's trying to. It isn't because she's a woman he's trying to have her recalled.
I mean, the people trying to recall Gondek are presumably, there's a big overlap with the same people who voted for Danielle Smith. And both of those people have boobs, Sean. They do. They're right out in front. Yeah. But this article, sexism, racism still lurk in the shadows as Gondek faces recall petition. And then it says, I make this assumption about the underlying sexism waged against Gondek and hold this opinion for a simple reason. Been there, done that, lived through outright sexism. And this whole thing is her talking about other instances where sexism was a thing that exists. Therefore, this recall petition is sexism. It's just grasping at straws. And so even with all that headwind, with them saying like, well, you know, you can't be sure what they're going to do with the data. And lots of people who work for the city or work with the city saying, well, you know what? I don't want my name on that thing because I don't want to take the chance of facing any repercussions. Right. And even with all of that, they still got 72,000 signatures. And so Landon, if you're listening, well done, man.
And Landon was on the show probably about 3 weeks ago, I want to say, to tell us about that. So yeah, like, I mean, recall is not true recall. And the fact this article says recall shouldn't be in there. What a bunch of just malarkey. Carry on. UCP leads from the front. This is a Chris Sims, Canadian Taxpayer Federation. This might be the first time we've ever read one of their things. I could be wrong.
Nope.
I could be wrong.
No, we've done a few Franco things, but this is Franco. This is the first Chris one we've done.
Okay, and so shout out to Chris.
Overdue.
Yeah, well, she's been a guest on here multiple times, and of course, listens to the show. Here's what it says: pay for politicians at the Alberta legislature has been frozen since 2019, when they also took a $7,000 per year pay cut. In contrast, the mayor of Calgary is paid $213,000 per year, and the mayor of Edmonton paid $216,000 a year. These high salaries follow years of pay hikes at City Hall for both councillors and mayors. Quoted Chris Sims, Premier Daniel Smith is making the right move to refuse a pay hike, and it would be great to see the mayors of Calgary and Edmonton follow this lead. We never hesitate to criticize politicians, but it's important to praise them when they do the right thing, and refusing a pay hike is the right thing. So there's Chris Sims quoted about Alberta and its politicians.
Absolutely. And I know that this is a bit of a departure, because usually when we bring up the UCP, we're shit talking something that they're doing, but hats off to them. Well done. I'm impressed. Shane, if you're listening, I appreciate this very much.
EVs have trouble starting. Ford Canada announced Thursday that it has delayed electric vehicle production at its Oakville assembly plant until 2027, pushing it back 2 years. Quoted as the number two EV brand in the U.S. for the past 2 years, we are committed to scaling a profitable EV business using capital wisely and bringing to market the right gas, hybrid, and fully electric vehicles at the right time, Jim Farley, Ford president and CEO, said in a press release. And then here's Peter McCaffrey on Twitter. He said Unifor refused to sign a new contract with Ford unless they agreed to convert their Oakville plant to make electric vehicles, because the union has been ideologically hijacked and believed the environment activist hype. So Ford moved the production of its existing vehicles to China and Mexico and started working on plans for EVs, but EVs aren't popular and aren't selling. So now they're delaying those plans. So now there's nothing for Unifor members to build at all.
I mean, you hate to see an ideologically hijacked organization just kick itself in the ass like that. It's a damn shame. Interesting thing though about that Tyga, whatever. Seamus O'Regan. Tyga expects to have a market cap of, this was when Seamus O'Regan was announcing all of the government grants that they were giving to the snowmobile people, presumably because they worked with Myers Norris Penny. Tyga expects to have a market cap of $537 million. The valuation includes a $100 million investment from a group led by Northern Private Capital, Toronto-based private equity fund. Markets are moving. Investors are moving. And they're moving to companies that are lowering emissions. Not according to them, their market valuation has gone down 97.74% in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Well,
as soon as the government money runs out,
What Tuz is talking about is in Quebec, Montreal-based electric snowmobile manufacturer Taiga Motors says it is pausing production and temporarily laying off around 70 workers. And it went on to say it says it lost, a net loss was $72.5 million in 2023 compared to a loss of $59.5 million in 2022. So they are bleeding money, too. So
oh,
bleeding
absolutely.
Money.
Like, and here's the thing, is the only way I would ever buy an electric snowmobile would be if I could give it to one of our politicians. Like, yeah, just take it for a spin. Just go.
Send them up into the north. Yeah, there's charging stations.
It's electric.
Up there.
It's electric, yeah. And you believe in electric, forever. Right? Well, yes, I believe in electric. I think I'll give it a try. And then next time he can't answer a question in question period, he can literally say that he's stumped.
You better take a picture of it, because they seem to lie through their teeth, as Chase would point out. They literally took a picture. You should probably take a picture of it to make sure they can't backtrack, because they seem to do an awful lot of that.
Yep.
We're going to need a rope. In a heist of biblical proportions, thieves pilfered around $30 million in cash from a Los Angeles area vault on Easter Sunday, and no one even noticed the empty vault until the next morning. The thieves accessed the facility through the roof and managed to avoid setting off any alarms. Footage on the facility on Wednesday showed what appeared to be a gaping hole, though, in the side of the building while a pile of debris next to it, though it was unclear if that damage stemmed from the break-in, they said.
Yeah, somebody stole $30 million from an unmarked Gardo warehouse. So this isn't even like one of their trucks. This is their stronghold. And it's just this low-key building that just happened to have a giant freaking vault in it, and someone knew how to get in, and the safe didn't show any signs of tampering. So they totally just sleuthed their way in. Apparently they got in through the roof, hence the need for a rope. And then they may or may not have exited through the giant gaping hole in the side. I hope they used some explosives, because why do you have an explosives guy in your crew if you're not going to use them? And then they made off like a bandit. I mean, it's great. Although I do hate when people say such and such of biblical proportions. Like, what is it about this heist that was biblical proportions? Did one of them steal an apple? Right? I mean, did they make their escape by parting the Red Sea? Come on.
I know the town isn't perfect. But it kind of feels like, you know, a little, they picked on Easter. They knew everybody would have their guard down, and they have no idea. $30 million out the door at the stronghold. Doesn't that feel like? See,
well, the town, they were ripping off the trucks themselves, though, weren't they?
Or I know. I agree. But at the end, they go to the Boston Red Sox stadium and
Fenway.
They go to Fenway and they take the stronghold there dressed as cops. I'm just saying. It isn't the same. I get it, but it feels like it's going to be made into one heck of a movie in years to come, doesn't it? $30 million, and they don't know who it is.
I think that's great.
Isn't that?
It wasn't me. I wish it was.
Normally, we're hearing these morons who get busted for you. Like, why would you do that? Or the ones we talk about are like, you know, they're stealing taxidermy animals. I'm like, you're going to go through the trouble. I mean, at least go for something that
something,
you know,
awesome.
Going to set, you know,
hey, you
set
know you what? Up. An entire truck full of bobbleheads is pretty awesome. So, so screw you on that one.
If you're new to the mashup, everybody remember the bobbleheads, the Yarmer Yager bobblehead truck disappeared. Man, come on, take a lesson from these guys. Go steal $30 million. Like,
yep. And then Andrew McKay in the ditch so soon, fellas. Screw you, man. We're having fun.
Trudeau getting screwed by a dong. Han Dong's future with the Liberal Party remains in doubt after his testimony at the federal inquiry into foreign interference earlier this week. Almost 9 months later, Dong's status with the party remains in limbo, telling the inquiry Tuesday that no decision has been made. This article just points to, you know, the collusion and how Trudeau went from defending him to distancing him.
Starting to distance himself, and just how, you know, he's talking about the exact same thing with no new developments. It's not as though Han Dong has done more greasy shit since. He's talking about the same greasy shit that he did before. And, you know, originally it was, oh, you're just racist for saying that. And then now it's like, oh, yeah, it's, and just I love the progression of, see, here's the thing. The clincher for this is that Han Dong is trying to sue Global for defamation. And so they're really going out of their way to accurately report on this and cohesively report on it. And then you get this article, which has a very clear timeline: February 27th, March 23rd, or March 3rd, March 8th, March 23rd, March 24th, May 24th, June 28th, September 7th, April 3rd, all the way along detailing how Trudeau has evolved his stance on dong, 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 dong.
Glenn Giebert says, say dong again. Dong. Dong?
Dong. Yeah.
Trudeau getting screwed by a dong?
Now, yeah. And more or less at this point, any hopes of Han Dong staying on as member of parliament are pretty much dong with the wind.
Yeah, dong with the wind. That's right. Co-vindication. This is something too was created last week. We're carrying on. So this is new. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, you might also know them as the CDC, has released previously hidden reports of facial paralysis and other adverse events following COVID-19 vaccinations.
Remember when we talked about Justin Bieber?
Yes. Yes, and it's like it's sitting there. Anyways, the 780,000 reports were received shortly after the COVID-19 vaccines were rolled out and show that people experience a wide range of post-vaccination problems, including heart inflammation, miscarriages, and seizures. You don't say, Twos. Finally, I pulled this line out. The CDC for years declined to make the V-safe data public, instead publishing studies that describe the reports as providing reassurance about the safety of the vaccines. However, according to data released in 2022, nearly 8% of the 10 million users required medical attention or hospital care after vaccination, and many
What's
others...
What's the difference between medical attention and hospital care? Hospital care is, by default, medical attention.
Many others reported missing school, work, or other normal activities. Yeah.
8%,
well, I wouldn't say I've been missing 8%.
It, Bob. 8%.
Holy... You know,
we were just crazy the whole time.
Crazy. You know, yep. Oh, there's nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Safe and effective. Heck, our government's still saying it's safe
Make
and effective.
Take the first one you can get. Mix and match.
It's all good. It's all good. Take your eighth.
Yeah. Tell us we're fucking wrong again.
Trust no one. According to a new survey conducted by Nanos Research, the Conservatives come out on top when Canadians are asked who they most trust to responsibly manage the finances of the government of Canada. Air quotes. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre's party has a 16-point advantage over the Liberals on this question, with 35% of respondents saying they trust the Tories the most. The next most common response was, I trust none.
None of them.
1 in 5 Canadians, I don't trust any of them. And that's fair.
I like the fact that actually this is the best thing I've seen in Canadian polling for a long time, because they had that. And then what did they say at the end? So Liberals ranked fourth, which is 14.2% of surveyed Canadians. So they aren't even polling at second or third place in this. And then, another 7% of respondents said there is no difference. So they actually gave the options of, I don't trust any of those fuckers, and those dicks are all the same.
Trisha Rue chiming in, CBC not publishing the truth. That doesn't sound like them.
That's because it wasn't CBC.
Yeah, the CDC. This is, yeah. But regardless, the CBC is right alongside of them anyways. They didn't do any journalism for a couple of years. They still don't. Trans Pride. After 4 years and more than $34 billion in costs, the Trans Mountain oil pipeline expansion will go into commercial service on May 1st, Tues. The Trans Mountain Pipeline, which was bought by the federal government in 2018, is Canada's only oil pipeline to the West Coast. Its expansion will increase capacity from 590,000 barrels per day to 890,000 barrels per day.
And it got done just in time with $34 billion. Remember when I said that they were up to $32 billion and they'd secured the extra $2 billion of extra funding, so there was going to be an extra $2 billion tacked on at the end? You heard it on the mashup first. And then now it's supposed to start in May.
That was supposed to cost $7 billion. It's supposed to cost $7 billion.
Yeah.
They bought it for 4.5, I believe it said.
Yeah. So I'm worried about reprisals from the green idiots that they're going to try and vandalize it or blow it up or something like that. And my suggestion is because it's the Trans Mountain pipeline, they paint the whole fucking thing in rainbow colors so that if any of the green retards try and fuck with it at all,
it can be a hate crime. Yeah. Hate crime. Done. Doom. Lock them up.
Yep.
Pride flag we could all get on board with, too. So is that what you're trying to point out?
Yeah. I mean, it's why not? Just you got to think big brain here. If everything you do bad to a pride flag is a hate crime, then okay, well, these things that they're going to want to blow up and destroy, let's make them pride flag, right?
So you're saying we should change our colors to pride colors just so we, you know, if we experience any hate, it can be.
If they try and cancel us, it's not. But I mean, we're the ones putting black marks on ourselves, so that would be a hate crime in and of itself. Right. So if we had trans rainbow pride, but here's the thing is they're still willing to sell you trans underwear. And if I can't put a skid mark on an intersection without it being a hate crime, there's no way I'm going to take the chance buying underwear.
Legacy Media owns the Aloof. Politics traditionally draws the type of person who cares deeply about what others think of them. That's only natural. To get elected, you need to be more popular than everyone else on the ballot. With almost 18 months under his belt as conservative leader, it's becoming clear that Puliev has a certain superpower that sets him aside from most of his predecessors, whether they're liberal or conservative. He doesn't care what we think of him, Tews.
But it's we in quotation marks, not like we charity, but we. This is the Toronto Star writing this. And then they go on, how do you attack someone who doesn't care how the alleged elites view him? Polyev's lack of interest in what we think of him is on full display in his daily media scrums, having correctly determined that the press gallery will never be his allies. Canadians are accustomed to Polyev's anti-charm offensive when responding to media questions. They talk about themselves as the elites, as the we, and like former Prime Minister Harper might have been stiff with the media, but he couldn't be bothered to be pugilistic, no matter how biased a journalist might seem. He's talking about the exact thing that we've been talking about for years, and he's acknowledging it out in the open. And I don't understand, like, for Polyev, electoral success runs through the families of those who turn wrenches for a living, not the guys who wear French cuff dress shirts. That he doesn't care what we might think is his superpower. Well, no shit, because what you think is fucking irrelevant. Nobody gives a shit what some liberal arts degree fucking dick face in Ottawa or Montreal or Toronto thinks about any of this stuff. We're not asking you. But it's just such a weird cell phone, the whole thing.
No one is safe from climate change. You know, Tews always finds a way to add in something that just is going to lighten your day. So if you're driving, make sure you don't laugh too hard and swerve into the ditch. If you're working out, you know, just maybe sit down for 2 seconds, okay?
Don't do those last couple reps.
Here we go. How climate change is hitting vulnerable Indonesian trans sex workers. That's the actual headline. And here's the first paragraph. Did I read this entire article? No, I did not.
Why not?
I read the first. Here it is. Joya Pitea, a 43-year-old Indonesian transgendered woman, first started to notice that changing weather patterns in the mountain-ringed city of Bandung were affecting her income as a sex worker a decade ago. Great freaking journalism, Tews.
It's bullshit. Here's the thing is when you're talking about sex trafficking destination vacations, people book that stuff. Well, I'm assuming that they book it the same way they book regular ass vacations, which is months in advance. And so it's not like they're looking out the window in, I don't know, the White House, for example, Or they're looking out from their weird sex island and being like, oh, the weather sucks today. I'm not going to go to Indonesia. They've already booked it months in advance. And you'd think, if anything, if you're going for sex tourism, having shitty weather would probably make you more money, because they'd be like, oh, I want to go see the Mongoons. I can't today. It's raining. Okay, well, let's just dial up some chick with a dick and see if she can come over, because the weather sucks and the turtles went away, right? Like, you'd think that that's, but no, apparently, like, none of this makes logical sense at all, just on its own, let alone when you actually stop to think about any of this. Like, none of these people do any sort of critical thinking, and these are the elites that Pierre Poilievre doesn't care about. Okay. Freedom Warriors is laughing too. Good, good, good. And this headline could have also worked for the last article.
A job well done is its own reward. Okay. Fort St. John. This is at Fort St. John. A leaked memo from Northern Health tells staff to allow illicit drug use and weapons in hospitals. You heard that right. I went to the memo. This is what it said. I picked on a couple of things. Staff, do not, in bold, remove personal items from the patient's room, even if there's a knife or something considered as a weapon under 4 inches long. We use our best professional judgment on this and risk of violence factors. The patient is asked to lock it up or ask someone to bring it home for them. We do not remove substances or vape pens, pipes, or anything of the sort. They remain with patient. Next, patients can use substances while in hospital in their rooms. They can either be provided with Narcan kit or have one available. If a patient has overdosed on substances, we use Narcan and provide teaching. I've asked pharmacy to supply us with take-home Narcan kits and Narcan kits available in the med room and back nurse's station. Finally, we do not restrict visitors if we suspect patients are bringing in substances. Only restrict if they are violent, intoxicated, or posing a problem. We do not restrict if they're dropping off substances or suspect of the same.
So drug dealers get a free pass at the hospital. I love how this article ended, by the way. In one instance, they allege someone was smoking meth just hours after the birth of a newborn baby. So, like, oh yeah, that birth was really tough. Yeah, I'm really feeling it. Has anybody got some crack for me? And they're just like, yeah, it's okay. We're not going to stop this. Like, honestly, this pisses me off. As somebody who got oil out of the ground for goddamn decades, it angers me that all the money the government makes on that oil is being spent on enabling crackheads.
It's a pretty wild story. I mean, honestly, the fact that that came out in a memo to nurses is wild.
Wouldn't a world without Narcan be wonderful? Andrew McKay. See, here's what I'm thinking. And, you know, it's one of those things where I wonder if I should say it out loud. And generally speaking, whenever I wonder if I should say something out loud, it's going to get me into trouble. For example, the airport thing from a couple weeks ago. Mrs. Two's a little bit upset about that, apparently, for some reason. Even though Sean, you could see it in his eyes, he was thinking the same thing too. Like, there's basically two types of people who thought about that. One who thought the same thing as me, and fucking liars. Anyway, here's the thing: is I wonder if
so. What he's talking about is the woman. Is the woman who had to take off her sweater and had nothing underneath it. For people who don't know what he's talking about, and two's gotten crap for that. That's funny to me. That is, that's funny. That's funny. You said the quiet part out loud, Tuz.
Wouldn't a world with Narcan be wonderful? And here's the quiet part. If we quit giving them Narcan, it would ease a lot of the strain on our medical system. If we quit giving them Narcan, homelessness wouldn't be nearly as much of an issue. If we quit giving them Narcan, crime would go down. At what point do we want to say that people should be held responsible for their own decisions? It's a weird, awkward, difficult conversation to have, but it's something to think about.
Followed by nature's healing. Okay. Are we talking line brawl?
We're talking line brawl.
So maybe you saw this, maybe you didn't, but I'll just pull it up here quick. I don't know if I need the commentary at all. Do I? Probably not. But essentially, it's the start of the game between
the opening faceoff,
New Jersey Devils, and you've got a line brawl, and people lose their mind over this. I'm like, this is just hockey. When I played hockey, this doesn't happen every game. And don't think for one second this happening in one game is all of a sudden going to open the door for a line brawl happening all the time. The NHL isn't like that anymore. So this is a throwback to the old days.
It is, but it isn't. So, I mean, on the one hand, you got these guys fighting with their helmets and with visors still on. Like, what the hell is that?
The goalies didn't go.
And Shesterkin was the next thing I was going to say. Yeah.
I was waiting for Shesterkin, and you know all the fans were sitting there going, are the goalies going to go? Come on. Come on. And the goalies didn't go.
Yeah. So I hope it ups the ante, and then that, you know, subsequent teams start responding with things like this. I think that would be a lot of fun. If you take some, you know, pathetic, hopeless teams, like if the Coyotes did this with the Oilers or something like that, that would be awesome, because it's not really going to screw anything up for either one of them.
Give it to the two boys. You know, they went there for a solid minute 25 or longer, and that was a solid tilt. I mean, it's just a throwback to the old days. Like, mm-hmm. To me, I enjoy it. I enjoy it, and sue me. I don't really care. I enjoy when there's a little bit of fisticuffs in hockey. I think it's better for it. And they're settling a score. And, you know, whether you like that they're settling it that way, well, whoop-de-doo. If you're watching this show, you probably think the same thing. You're probably not that hurt by it.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Fight.
I'm kind of surprised by this. Okay, I want to just dig into this for a minute, Sean. Okay. So, grew up watching the Oilers, right? Big Oilers fan. Big Gretzky fan. And yet, at the same time, you like seeing fights in hockey. That's weird.
So, you... let me get this straight.
Because you're a huge fight? Gretzky fan. You're a huge Gretzky fan, but you also like to see fights in hockey?
Actually, my if I'm honest, Tuz, my favorite hockey player of all time, Stevie Y, guy played with his heart on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Followed by Ryan Smith, you know, Captain Canada at one point.
Yeah.
Followed by Sidney Crosby. And so, and then, and, you know, like the new players, yeah, there's a lot of skilled players, and I like a lot of guys, and I'm you know, but my favorite Calgary Flame of all time, Jerome McGinley, right? I would have gladly brought him on. That's a guy who stuck up for his teammates. I like Jonathan Toews. I like a certain style of player, and I'm not saying Ryan Smith and Stevie Y and all those guys went and fought, but Gretzky wasn't there to fight. That wasn't his job. His job was to score goals, win hockey games, and he isn't built like a fighter. Nugent Hopkins right now. Every once in a while he'll drop mitts and it's cool, but you're like, that's not what you're there for. That's not why you're, you know, you're not supposed to have everybody fight. Some guys are made to put the puck in. Every once in a while, seeing him drop the mitts, I'm not against it. But Oilers, man, Oilers Flames back in the day used to be gruesome. It used to be fun watching. Like, some big boys were gonna go at it.
They need to get back to that. They really need to.
They're not gonna get back to it. We're talking in the news about a publicly funding surgery to have a vagina and a penis. Like, we're not getting back to that.
Well, it's not like you're going to punch him in the can, Sean. And actually, how does that work? Like, do you need like a double can at that point? No, have they developed a can for this prospective surgery?
Probably haven't developed a can for that.
Because, I mean, you'd see that guy dressing up in the locker room and you'd say, hey, nice cans.
Drop in the bucket seats. Police operation at the Port of Montreal has led to the recovery of 598 stolen vehicles since December, many of them stolen from Southern Ontario and slated for sale overseas. Kearns said the vehicles valued at $34.5 million were to be sold on foreign markets around the world in Asia, Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and in South America.
Yeah. Now, did you see how many vehicles have been stolen out of all of them? Like, they basically just, they got this much of them. And here's the thing, like, all these vehicles that go missing in Canada, it's not like you find them on fire 2 miles out of town. They just disappear, never to come back. Where do they go? They go to other countries.
Correct.
And yeah, I like, why would you, it can't be that hard to find out
Semenko for the win. I agree, Glenn. Hey, woo! What are you trying to pull up? Hey, Tuz is upset because you know, the listeners are looking like they agree with my assessment of the Oilers. Yeah, eat it. A drop in the bucket seats. Come on, Tuz. Okay, finish your thought here. Finish your thought.
You know they're all going out on ships. And I get the fact that there's some busy ports in this country, but it can't be really that hard. Like, okay, there's a convoy of 50 cars that showed up. It's either Justin Trudeau on his way to get takeout, or it's a bunch of stolen fucking cars getting in sea cans. This isn't rocket science.
I agree. And honestly, we don't have that many ports. Happy news, Tuz. I don't even know what the happy news is today.
Happy news is
Mashup 101 being in the afternoon for the first time ever. Pretty cool. All right. Meet Laverne Beiser, 105-year-old Eclipse chaser, excited to add the first 13th to his list.
Yeah. Yeah. So he started in 63 in Maine. He's been all over North and South America. And yeah, from Texas to Brazil. Although I assume, like, they talked about him being in Maine. So obviously, it's like Texas is in between Maine and Brazil. Poorly written, but just go with it. So anyway, and he talks about how each eclipse has its own unique beauty. And he thinks that this one's going to be really important because it's actually in his backyard. And he urges spectators to remove their glasses during the total eclipse to fully appreciate its splendor. Okay, you hear all this stuff about people's eyes boiling if they look at the eclipse? Here is the resident expert. No one on the planet, I would say probably ever, has seen more eclipses than this geezer. And he's...
And I dropped you out of the thing.
Why did you kick me out? And he's telling you to take your glasses off so you can really appreciate it. And he's seen 13 of them.
13 of them. And you excited for the eclipse? Are you I've seen the path it takes. It doesn't get close. Like the path of it isn't
the
where we're sitting.
Totality misses us by a couple thousand kilometers, right?
Correct.
But, I mean, it goes. It catches Montreal. It I'm guessing parts of Toronto or southern Ontario anyway, and most of Newfoundland. It would be pretty cool to check out, but. With the carbon tax now, I'm not going to fly all the way across the continent just to see like 10 minutes of darkness.
Oh, you're saving the world one missed flight at a time, Tuz.
I guess the carbon tax is working.
I guess it is. All right. That's going to do it for Mashup 101. Some things, community notes
have you sold so far, Sean?
Right as we started the show, I shouldn't have never looked because I wrote it in here that we had sold 222 tickets to the show. It's got capacity for 240 and I just sold the 223rd. So two figures, I should rebate it and then just
give
them
a refund
down.
And just shut it all in. Call it
regardless. If you want to come to Lloydminster, April 27th, SMP presents the Cornerstone Forum. It's going to be happening, all day Saturday, and there's only 17 tickets left, so that's super interesting. You got the 12th annual PBR and Marwane coming up April 12th, June 22nd also in Marwane, Aaron Goodwin and Garrett Gregory, May 11th, walk-in fundraiser in Turtleford, that's Mackenzie Bloom, 639-844-7101, all proceeds going to MS Society. You got the Clunker Dunker and Kid Scotty, clunkerdunker.com.
How is that thing not sunk yet?
I don't know.
Did Dust put a bunch of legs underneath it in the fall, and then it's just holding up the ice, and then when he decides he's just gonna hit a button, and then they'll go out, and he'll be like, "Oh, look, I won!" there'll be no ice left. He'll forget he did that. There's no ice left. It's just the straight slough, and people will be looking to be like, "Why is that thing still floating?"
You know, this has been our shortest mashup in quite some time, under an hour, and we're going to make sure that it's under an hour. Thanks for joining us today on a Friday afternoon.
Thanks,
obviously,
Chase.
you're seeing the new look, The mashup is moving to 10 a.m. next week. That is the plan moving forward. Fridays at 10. We hope you'll join us live. And if you miss it, of course, it'll go on the podcast afterwards. You can catch everything there later on before, you know, probably be up at lunchtime type thing. So either way, thanks for hopping in today, folks. Mashup 1-1 in the books. Twos until next week. And to all you fine folks, we'll see you next week as well.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.